Welcome to Envisioning Success, the weekly podcast that's your prescription for business clarity. In today's episode, Laura DiBenedetto and Julia Becker Collins unravel the power of collaborative campaigns, bridging the sales marketing gap. Discover the secrets to joint projects, data leverage, and team alignment. Gain insights into refining strategies, addressing challenges, and achieving shared goals.
Hey everybody, welcome to Envisioning Success. I'm Laura, this is Julia. We're together on a late Thursday afternoon. We're super stoked to talk about, you know, sales, helping you make some money. This episode is all about collaborative campaigns, joint marketing and sales initiatives. So oftentimes what you'll see is sales doing their own thing and marketing doing their own thing and praying to God it works out. This is not that. This is intentional collaborative activities where sales and marketing basically have a little brainchild and decide we are going to collaborate and we are going to do this thing together. And I think these are really fun and they can go really well. And frankly, it can actually help to bring your sales and marketing teams together. Like in the last episode, we talked an awful lot about the importance of really deeply understanding your avatar. And a project like this can actually further get everybody on the same page. It can help everybody to really understand each other's jobs more empathy, like we talked about in the first episode of this series this month. And frankly, there's no downsides to doing collaborative efforts. And once you do a few, you might decide, this is a heck of a lot more effective. I think I would like to do all of my marketing and sales programs together because it works better.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. You know, you've got a product company and you are launching a new product every quarter. So what you do, you're just trying to expand your product lineup. This is great. Let's say you do shirts, right? You've got a new fabric, new this, new that, new cut. And you really want to make sure that you promote it. Great. You want to sell it. You want to make sure your existing customers buy it. You want to make sure that your people who aren't so sure, but they're on your email list, actually take the leap and buy it. And then you want to get the people who've never even heard about you to buy it. So how do you actually do those specific things? Well, this is where the collaborative project comes in handy. You're able to get on the same page, work together, and be like, all right, so we got some objectives here. And what are we going to do this? I've actually done this with another one of my companies and it's kind of fun, I'm not going to lie. And when we're trying to add a new product, what we'll do is we'll figure out, all right, how do we get the VIPs, which is the people who have already bought from us before, to buy this? And that's when I, being on that sales team, will be like, well, I can text everybody individually with a unique link. I could do that. Great. You do this. And what are we going to do for the other people? Oh, we could do that. And everybody comes away with their own unique marching orders. But what's really kind of fun is it's part of a big cohesive strategy to serve the avatar and bring in those big bucks.
Right. And it's not when, you know, everything's siloed. I just had this conversation recently where so often what happens is if you're outsourcing part of your marketing and you have the sales inside, then everybody's doing their own thing and you're not driving down the field together. Your sales and marketing efforts are the most efficient and the most effective when you are aligned and we each know what the other is working on and you're in constant communication, whether that's a regular monthly in-person meeting or a virtual meeting, depending on how your business is set up, or, you know, regular stand-ups, et cetera. But you kick it off together and you take it on the journey together rather than the website doing one thing and the Google ads doing another thing and the SEO is doing something else over here. And then your Instagram is promoting who knows what over there. And then the sales team is talking about something that operations can't even produce. And you might think that's an extreme example, but I have seen it and it happens.
And it's not great.
No, very bad.
No, it's actually really stressful for everybody. But, you know, the fun thing about a lot of these joint projects is, you end up caring about the stuff that isn't necessarily your responsibility, but it affects the community goal. So, you know, you and I have joint goals, but I'm responsible for my half. You're responsible for your half. And you hold me accountable. I hold you accountable. I ask, hey, how's it going? Is there anything I can do to support you? You ask the same of me all the time. And it's nice because, oh my gosh, together everyone achieves more.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's the team acronym. It's just, it's so true though. I mean, you get so much more buy-in and you get actually excited about things that don't directly pertain to your specific output, but who cares? Because you like actually care about the right thing, which is growing company, serving the avatar.
Exactly. You know, it, whether it's at the leadership level or in your sales team or how sales and marketing interact, or just at different levels in your marketing team, or if you're outsourcing your marketing, how that outsourced marketing interacts with your sales team. It's getting everybody on the same page and in a way that you're being supportive. We've talked about this in the past few episodes. I will continue to talk about it, that there's so much animosity oftentimes between sales and marketing, but that just makes everybody's jobs more difficult rather than just getting on the same page.
I know. That's so true. You know, I'm thinking about one of our clients that we've been working with for 10 years, and I love being really involved in the sales process. So we are their marketing team and they are their own. It's two business partners and they are the sales team. They have other people kind of pre-qualify, but they are the sales team. Nobody really does it better than the owners, in my humble opinion. So it's kind of nice because what we're doing is we're actually in the middle of a collaborative project now. What we're doing is we're planning, okay, this is the avatar. This is how they think. What happens? So I'm asking them questions. So what happens when you sit with them? Like I interview them, you know, I want to know about the questions they ask, the concerns they have. You know, selling it is not my job, but I have to know how it's sold in order to market it. So I ask them questions about all these different things and they turn around and they ask, okay, so how is it being promoted? What is it that we need to be saying? And, you know, how do we get this message out there so we can pre-qualify better? Great. The more aligned we are in us being the marketing department vision and them being the sales department for their company, $8 million company, how can we collaborate better? It's honestly, we ask a lot of questions about how things work, what things are like, lots and lots of feedback. We talked about data in a previous episode. I mean, data is so important. Like I and Julia are responsible for supplying them with top of the funnel data. They are responsible for supplying us with bottom of the funnel conversion data. Remember the whole funnel thing I talked to you guys through before? And when we get the complete information, that's when we're like, ah, how interesting. There seems to be a drop off here and then we can fix it. Or, wow, this part's working surprisingly well. That's amazing. Let's crank it up. So we're able to like really just be an awesome team.
Right. And it's, you know, thinking about that data, I just actually did a deep dive on that exact client. And there you have a blog that we wrote in 2017 that drives to this day 37,000 visitors to their website every month. So, you know, understanding that level of data so that we can have a really good conversation with them about what they're planning next and saying, okay, this is what has worked. You know, this is who we were targeting. If you're continuing to target those kinds of people, let's keep doing the things that we know are working and add in these other pieces over here. It makes it easier for marketing to have that conversation with sales because sales thinks about things in hard objective truth. We've been talking about data. Hard objective truth makes those conversations easier.
It does. Also, hats off to the person who wrote that article, and I know who it was. Great job.
Yeah.
See those stats right there? That's the stuff that gives me the warm and fuzzies. I kind of need a minute. That's so nice.
But it's a helpful piece of information.
I love it.
Right. it's that kind of information is so helpful for both marketing and sales, but then it's also helpful in marketing and sales of your own company in terms of like, hey, we have these hard numbers of what we know that we can do, especially when you're selling a service. It's like, well, if we do this for you, it increases your productivity by Y amount. Or when we do this, your employees are happier by X amount. It's, you know, it makes the whole process better.
It does. Absolutely. Totally on the same page with you there. I don't know. You know, I really wish that more people would look at marketing as an essential ingredient in the sales process. And I think that's one of the interesting patterns I've noticed in our avatar is, although we love our avatar deeply and we're super aligned, sometimes our avatar doesn't always understand that your job will be easier if you have marketing just bringing pre-qualified leads to you, because mm-hmm. our avatar is really good at selling themselves and selling their company. And if that sounds like you, get on the phone, call us. But, you know, I'm just saying. But like, you know, think about our friend in Pennsylvania. You know, he's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant salesperson. He's really good at selling himself. He's been able to build a really great company, do really well. But for years, for like 20 years, he never had any marketing. Well, when he wanted to retire, it was like, oh, damn it. Now I actually have to look at it, don't I? Yeah.
This is, well, that's like us, right? So you brought me on 7 years ago so that you could take a step back because, you know, it's been a lot of work. But you're a really phenomenal salesperson, so we didn't have to do as much marketing for ourselves. But in order to grow the company in the best way, we had to take a step back and say, hey, this is what we need to be doing. And it shouldn't be the Laura show. You know, in a previous episode, we talked about we want to make sure that there's transparency and clarity around what the person is buying at every stage. And what we had a struggle with a number of years ago was people thought that they were buying Laura's services that she would do herself. And little did they know that is a terrible idea, because you don't want Laura doing your actual marketing or building your website, just like you don't want Julia doing it. No, you don't want me doing it. You don't want Laura doing it. People are good at different things. But there wasn't enough clarity in the sales and marketing process that we were putting out, that what made it incredibly abundantly clear that we have an amazing team of people and they are doing the marketing, and that's what you want. And so we turned the ship. We clarified how we talked about things. Laura and I both changed how we talked about things, how we sold things, how our marketing worked. And now we don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, I remember in some of the earlier episodes, we talked about how once upon a time, Vision was a itty bitty baby company, and then it became, you know, an adolescent company, and now it's an adult company. And that's one of the big things that I personally have in common with our avatar is I built the company using my own sales prowess. I love talking to people. I love consulting and helping. To me, it's easy. Like, sales to me isn't sales, which is why I'm good at it, because sales isn't something you do to someone, you know, it's a service you perform. It's like, let me help you get clear. Let me help you figure out exactly what your problem really is and the best way to solve it. And if I'm not it, that's great. I will still help you find the right person who is. So, you know, I just remember doing that. And it's so crazy how many people we meet that want to talk to us about our services that have the same damn issue. It's like, congratulations on your 20 year success. Would you like to fire yourself now? Would you like to perhaps not be in the sales role, but still enjoy all this great success? Great. This is what you need marketing for. And you need to create this whole collaboration between the marketing and the sales process. So I don't know, maybe you can get a salesperson other than you. You know, that's a big deal. Like, honestly, we've been able to do that because now our marketing actually works correctly because we finally paid attention to it and made it not the Laura show. And we're able to get leads, and they know it's a team. They know they're going to talk to Julia. Julia has pre-qualified people that are excited to talk to her, and they don't expect that it's the Julia show.
Right. I make it abundantly clear at every stage of the sales process. And also in our marketing, our team has done a really phenomenal job of showcasing lots of different people in our marketing. It's not just photos of me, and talking about how we have a team and that we're proud of having a team because we're not a baby company and we have these amazing full-time experts on staff.
I'm super proud of that. I'm sorry. 37,000 hits a month. Baller. That's amazing.
You're going to be stuck on that one for a while. I know. I had like a week to digest it, and I used that fact in a presentation recently, and people had their jaws on the floor. I was like, you can pick them up now because I'm going to continue and give you more amazing information.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really important. And honestly, when you've been working on a lot of these different projects for a long time, you know, do they all get those numbers? No, but boy, when they do, it really just like, it feels good. But that's also how we get our clients to have $8 million companies after years of working their butts off. You know, it's like when we are the outsource partner, we have to collaborate with our clients. Like what we're describing to you in this episode is literally how we work with people. I can't work in a silo. This is what makes me good at my job. And thank you for the compliment, Julia. I am good at sales. And it's because I'm not here to sell. I'm here to listen. I'm here to consult. Right. Like, I want to know about your sales process. I want to know who your avatar is. Oh, you don't know who your avatar is? Great. I can solve that problem. Let's get you right. Clear on that. Let's figure out where you get ghosted, where people drop off. Like, where are you losing sales? Like, that to me is like the essence of collaboration, is really helping to improve the sales process from the marketing department.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I'm just in baller mode today. Oh, I love this subject. I just really feel like, yeah, I just feel like there's just so much here that people really need to like lean in and pay attention to. And like, listen, folks, you know, listening to this, it's one thing, but apply it. Please apply it. You know, when you're listening to this, if you have a marketing company and it's not us, that sucks for you, but here's how to work with them a little bit better. You know, you want to make sure that you're collaborating really well with them and give them more sales data, give them more information, tell them the things that we've gone over in this episode. It will help them do a better job. If you have an internal team, same thing. If you don't have a marketing company, get one. And have somebody to have your back and actually care about the sales process. That's the best way to collaborate. That's the best way for you to make money, because chances are you have a lot in common with the other folks who listen to this show, who are folks who run businesses, do sales, are responsible for growing their company from nothing into a multi-million dollar enterprise.
And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this in a future episode, that a lot of people don't know how to buy marketing. They're scared of trying to figure out how to buy marketing. But this is a really good filter of how to look at that. When you have conversations with a marketing agency, or if you're hiring somebody internally, you need to make sure that they understand the value of this data. Do they know how to interpret sales data? Can they have collaborative conversations? Do they understand that you should have collaborative conversations? Are you talking to somebody that wants to live in a silo and is a task monkey and that has its time and place, but not when it's your bottom line on the line, right? Do they understand what to do with the data, how to bob and weave around it? And do they know how to launch joint campaigns? These are great talking points when you're hiring somebody.
Yes. And you want to make sure that you hire a strategist, someone who actually speaks the language of sales, speaks the language of big picture planning, and knowing not just how to interpret the data, but what to do with it. It's like, great. Now what? You need somebody who knows the now what, you know, and right. can invent it or figure out the research. Like, you need a really quick thinker, someone who can figure stuff out. Hey, here's the thing, figure it out. Boom. And they have the answer. Like, that's the person you're looking for. It doesn't need to be us. I keep joking with you about this, because hello, this was a show for, right? But that's why we sponsor it. But at the end of the day, no matter who you work with, make sure they're a good strategist. They understand how to objectively look at this stuff and how to act on it quickly and accurately and efficiently. You don't want someone throwing the kitchen sink at problems that don't require the kitchen sink.
Right. Oftentimes we see other agencies that market, you know, X number of Facebook posts or whatever for Y very low amount of dollars. And that's great for some people, but that's not a strategist. That's an order taker. That's somebody that thinks about all of these things as boxes that they check, and they're not invested in your success. You know, I would use the 37,000 visitors a month metric as an example. Okay, so if somebody gets that, what do they do with it? How do you capitalize on that? What do you do to take it from there? How do you analyze that data? How do you know if that's a win or not? Because I don't think 37,000 people visiting Coca-Cola is going to be a win for them, because they're looking at things in the billions. But if you're a mid-sized, mature company that provides a local service, 37,000 is a lot. So understanding what lens to put it in.
Absolutely. And I love the way you just framed that, because I just realized something as you were speaking. It's very easy to take data and assume that I'm talking about problems that need solving, but also it means wins that need to be capitalized on, leveraged, doubled down on, et cetera. You know, we have a client that we were able to get 7.5 million impressions on LinkedIn in 12 months. And great. Now what? How do we turn this into something wonderful? Awesome. Right. Like you really want someone who's going to be in your business and not just looking at it as great. Well, what's the next marketing thing? It's like, no. How do we turn this into dollars? And this is where having a good business strategist that does marketing is really crucial. So,
Agreed.
So thank you, Julia, for sharing your wisdom as always. Guys, thanks for listening. It's really awesome doing this for you. It's lots of fun. I've said this before, but if you want us to cover a particular subject, just ask. You know, this show is for you. We really want you to enjoy the show, learn cool things, tell your friends, like, subscribe, share, do all the things, check it out on YouTube. But more than anything, get tremendous value from this. We're here to help you transform your business into something that takes your breath away. And it can do that with the right effort applied well. So let us know what's on your mind, what you care about, what's maybe bugging you, a problem you haven't solved. We'd love to cover it in a future episode. I mean, believe me, I am a fountain of ideas and I can come up with stuff, but it's definitely better if you tell me what you want to hear so then I can actually create content for you about that. I'm the program director. I decide what we talk about. So there's that. So hit me up. Just go to the website, go to vision-advertising.com. Shoot us a note. If you ever need some support, you're looking for a strategist, you can kick our tires. We're happy to talk to you anytime. All that said, this concludes this whole sales month, and we're glad that you're here, and I'm excited to see you in the next episode. Peace out, homie.